B-Pod Studios.
Bounce to the point. Cronwall's drive absorbed by Rask.
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Hawkshock into the slot. Backhand. He scores!
Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich.
I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson is here.
Share notes, me and Billy.
Yeah, in the minute he sits down, you two jabronis.
On what? What are you sharing notes on?
They just talk about working out immediately. They got into their working out.
Really?
Billy, I mean, look, we're...
How old are you, Ted Johnson?
I'm 46. Mm-hmm. I'm 46 years old.
Oh, boy.
Wow. 46.
I look a lot older than you, and I'm younger than you.
How old are you?
I'm 44.
I'm 50 in a couple of weeks, and so this has been one of those.
Are
moments.
You doing what you talked about for your birthday?
I can't. I'm looking. I've actually looked into it, and it may not be able to happen. We'll talk off air.
All right. Well, you got to push. You got
to. But I wanted to get down. I wanted to lose about 8-9 pounds, and I'm almost there to get down for my 50th. That's what I wanted. That's a gift to myself.
That's a gift. A gift for me would be more eating and I can't see. good for you,
Not everyone but... runs around the reservoir listening to
I wanted to get to 218. That's what I wanted to get down to. And so I got about 3 pounds left to go.
Isn't it funny, though, when you're in, like, really good shape, when you're so tuned into your body, like,
yeah, I
can
know,
tell
I know
if I'm... You know Freddie. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
So I'm so in tune with it.
So this is redundant for you, but the pound plus... 2 pounds either way, there's a difference.
You feel,
Like, I literally, like, I got a buddy who's always bust my ball. He need to lose weight. And I was like, my target weight is 250. It's not 252. It's not 248. It's 250. I'm 250 now. I was 250 when I played. It's my ideal weight. Now, I've fluctuated in the last 15 years since I played, but... Is the same thing, right, Billy? I mean, you say 218. Okay. You didn't say 220. Right.
When you
218.
Took, right, that, when you right. took 3 years off, Ted, from working out, how heavy did you get?
295.
All right. Now, were you fat?
Fat. Fat and just the soupiest of soup sandwiches.
And lazy and lethargic. Oh, yeah. And meanwhile, you'd still go for that extra cheeseburger when you could. Well, in a heartbeat because it tasted good, too.
Right? I've told this earlier. And when I go down, I can go down in a blaze of glory. Like, my diet just went to...
Yeah.
Hell.
Yeah,
and so if I eat bad, I don't go work out. Yeah. Right? So I'm not going to – if I work out, then I'm going to eat good. So if you see me start eating bad, then you know I'm not working out.
Do you pre-make your meals? Do you pre-make your meals like these people and then you measure everything out?
My best friends that I'm staying with currently, they do that. All right? All the ground turkey and the rice –
You know, and they'll probably live for like 6 months more than everyone else, and it'll be so worth it.
Right.
That's that. No, I like food too much to do any of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, you're not such great shape. So, but there you go. They sat down and immediately they got the bonds.
Great.
Yeah, two meatheads. They sit down together and then they
can always learn, man.
Meatheads are us.
Yes. I'm a proud meathead. So,
well, you're crazy. You got.
We've established that the last two shows.
Now, Billy, do you have bloodlust like Ted Johnson does? Do you fantasize about someone wronging you in some way, shape, or form, and then you attack them?
No. Or a scenario where you save the day, a damsel in distress kind of thing? Where you...
Maybe that. No, yeah. I'm you know what? I'm old. I'm tired.
Amen, brother.
Like somebody, you know what I did talk about with you? I believe it was with you. Maybe it was Rich. I don't remember.
If it was good, it was with Rich.
I want to take my kids to boxing, and I want to get into it. It was with Rich. Okay, and I want to get into that because I haven't done that in a long time. I feel like.
You know what's funny is we just had this long
bloodlust, but if it's just, just to get back
we had this long talk about youth concussions, and that's probably a pretty good idea is to pop them into a boxing ring, have them take some knocks to the head.
Box training. Sure. You can do boxing training without the hit.
Eventually you have to spar or you're not doing anything.
Well, I'm talking about my kids. I just want them to have a good time, and I want them to learn some defense stuff. I do.
What, do you think, a box is defense?
Well, instead of going to 8 days of 8 days a week of the martial arts, which they can't do, they're not going
to. I'll tell you what's really good is karate. They learn to dance so well. Have you ever been to a karate class for kids? Oh, it's so boring. Yeah. It's synchronized moves. So what are they going to put their dukes up?
Maybe.
Like, if they get in a fight, they're going to, like, you know, an average bar fight is under 30 seconds.
I know.
They're not going to have time to put their dukes up.
I'm going to hope my daughter's not getting into bar fights, and I'm actually going to hope my son
isn't either. She stands up for herself. I think
she does actually stand up for herself.
Give the kids confidence, though. Confidence.
Exactly. That's confidence all that is.
You don't need them all confident at that age.
Why not?
They won't take the parenting.
They don't anyways.
You know what? You should teach them how to break a beer bottle.
And
just stomp and then stab someone.
Well, that's true, too.
I said, if you're ever in a fight, just grab the guy's balls and squeeze. Because it's fun.
Speaking of bloodlust.
All right.
Nutslust.
No, please, these are children. All right, so Billy Jaffe.
Yes.
The last two games.
Yeah, not ideal.
Not ideal.
No.
Now, last night, it seemed like they were going to come back in that game.
Like the good chance. But
bad call. Horrendous call in the third period.
Yeah, but, you're right. It was.
I'm sorry.
I thought that was sound effects.
That's someone
for a bad call. Horrendous hooking call on Danton Heinen.
That's a good friend from Allentown, New Jersey.
Oh, good.
Excellent. Yeah, it's almost right.
Horrendous hooking call took them off the power play and killed any chance they had of winning.
The score at the time was 5-4?
5-4, yes.
I don't disagree, but they chased the game. Even though they got up 1-0 on the shorthanded goal by Bergeron, they chased the game. And that's the concern. That's the concerning part or the disappointing part. It wasn't a 2-1 chase. It was a 5-1 chase, and it was ugly after 1-1. It was ugly, and therefore, you say, okay, you know, you'll deal with the bad call because bad calls happen, and it exacerbated the fact. Yes, it was 5-4. They made this nice comeback, Wallach, but they put themselves in a brutally difficult position. To have to come. The odds just aren't with you.
Fourth straight game they've fallen behind by a goal or
it's
two.
It's a trend.
Yeah. Well, usually what happens, and I think this is the same for any sport, is even when you're in a winning streak, your signs of weakening play
you can see this coming.
Happen before you start losing because you have that thing for it that usually rides you to victory, in which the Bruins did a couple of times. I mean, listen, they're playing a very desperate team last night in Columbus. They got beat the night before and is on the precipice of not even making the playoffs. So I give Columbus credit. The night before that, game before that, I mean, they played Pittsburgh, who had just gotten beat by Columbus, too. That's all fine and good. Bruins still know that they want to show up, need to show up, and they need to be better. There's no excuses. There's no excuses, even though they're still missing five regulars. So okay, they need to be better.
Let's talk about that. What are you hearing about these injuries?
I think DeBrusque is close, but they're going to make sure that he is 100% ready.
Okay, so that was something that we even talked to Cassidy about, and he said that he might have been back that like a couple days following the injury.
Right, they're going to make sure that he is 100% before.
Okay, so when you like break like I guess what did he broke like a small bone in his foot?
I don't know if it's actually a hairline or what stress or a deep bone. Right, regardless,
so he caught it. He was blocked the shot with his foot.
Yeah.
What does that entail? Like, I know he's got a walking boot on, but how does it heal that quickly?
Well, not being a doctor at all.
You played hockey.
Yeah, I know. But, well, I never had a broken foot, though. But I can tell you, seeing guys around, there's these hairline fractures, these stress fractures. There's also this deep bone bruise that they get concerned that turns into something else. The calcification, and it morphs into more, and it can become a type of a stress fracture. So they want to make sure that it doesn't get to anything more. And I think that's where they're at with Jake. So it's obviously a very small, you could tell that one day about 10 days ago now, Fred, where he tried to skate in practice and he was laboring. So right away, they yank him and they say, no, we're not going to let this develop into something more to where perhaps the hairline becomes a much more significant fracture.
Okay, and then
Rizlik's waiting. He's got MRIs yesterday. He's got to start doing some, I'm guessing, some therapy.
He's playing really well. That's a bigger loss than maybe people I feel think that it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is, because he's a guy that can play it has played top four role for them, defends beautifully with his feet. We know he's not that big, but he's become a viable part of their defense, and therefore it is a bigger loss. You know, John Moore has played well in his time in. Kampfer hadn't played in a game in an NHL game since December. It may have been the 23rd. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it had been a long time. So you're just asking the guy to come in off the practice squad. Literally, that's what he's doing, and it's a hard get. Hard ask, but and then, you know, you're still talking Kevin Miller. I don't have any update there.
Yeah, that seems to be the guy that no one knows about.
Bruce Cassidy said a couple of weeks ago that he got some worse news on his MRI, upper body. I don't know what it is, oblique, shoulder, whatever. But the insinuation was it was going to be weeks, not days. So now we're at weeks. So hopefully, I'm guessing with them on the road, they don't need to give an update every day, but maybe in a couple of days they will. But I think DeBrusque is very close. Pastrnak is skating, holding on to the stick. So that I think he's close too. The issue that we're going to have as we'll call it on Bruins injury watch is when do these guys get into at least some harder practices, not just one-on-one skating with the skills coach, for instance,
practices with contact.
Contact and pace.
Right.
You can work as hard as you want, and these guys do work hard. Trust me, Kim Brandvold is a phenomenal skill skating coach.
He puts them
through it. but I'm telling you, he works them out hard, but it's not the same as pace with your teammates.
All right. We will have more with Billy Jaffe. I'm going to go get a soda pop downstairs, which is not on either of these gentlemen's diets, including John Wallach, who is running out of fear of imminent death. And that's why he has lost so much weight. You know what? Some of us have to be the drunk guy. All right, you know, just to keep the boat afloat.
Everybody's got their role.
That's right. That's right, Billy Jaffe. Billy Jaffe, who once successfully fought a bear in Montana.
Oh, God.
Wow. Yes. That's right. I forgot about that.
Yes.
Did you ever do that, Ted? Boy, I tell you that.
No, that I have.
You're
not
a step behind there, aren't you?
I'm impressed. I'm about to hear the story.
All right. So I know I got a break, but there's this guy that I'm really good friends with. Who's they come over with their kids a lot, and like he'll drink, and then he's like obsessed with you because like you have like a similar body type to him. Like in he's one of these guys that's like obsessed with like guys that work out, and it's confused my son so much that he's married to a woman. I swear to God. He's like, but wait, I'm not going to say his name. He's like, wait, he's married to a woman. Like, yeah. Why does he love Jaffe? And we're like, no, he doesn't love Jaffe.
Well, we all love Jaffe. You know.
Fred, does he ask, so what's Billy like? Is he a cool guy? Is he? That's what they,
nice. Yes. Billy in every city.
No, but when people are like fans of somebody that you know them. They just what's he like?
I honestly don't completely understand why. I've never asked them. But in both cities, Billy and I have lived in and worked together. There's been someone who's been a male that's been obsessed with them, and but it was funny because my son was just so confused about what was going on.
We got to talk to Milo.
No, it's fine. But I mean, it was he wasn't being
nothing
like
to do with you, Billy.
No, he wasn't being like negative about
it.
He was just confused.
You know,
he was like, but he's married. I mean, how could he love Jaffe? All right, we'll be right back.
For the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson in the studio. Ted Johnson in. And if you're a fan of Ted Johnson, you're going to get an awful lot of Ted Johnson. Because there's only 3 days of Rich and I, and then I'm gone for a very long time.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Turks and Caicos.
I love Turks. Have you been?
See? Told you.
Well, the only time I've been is I was on a cruise and they trapped me at a Margaritaville. There was no way to get off the dock.
Oh, no, I wouldn't like that.
Oh, you don't say? When there's a Carnival cruise that pulls in full of people with salmonella.
Are you going with
brain
or without?
Damage?
Are you just going, is it a honeymoon-esque or is it without or with?
Well, nothing's a honeymoon anymore. We've been married far too long. But the
that's a shame.
No kids, though.
But there's no kids.
Oh, that a boy. Good.
I get to take a vacation in March where my parents come up. And then,
I'm jealous.
And then we take it without the kids.
Don't tell Victoria. She'd be jealous.
You never take vacations without the kids?
No, we do, but just not. It's always rushed in the summer because the hockey season is so busy. And
see, we only go to my parents in the summer. So, there you go.
Well, good for you guys.
Down in Knoxville.
Where are you staying? Can I ask?
Thank you. Ted Johnson, paying attention to the show.
Love me some Knoxville, Tennessee.
I'll tell you, you get an hour south of there, you're right on Lake Teleco. Don't worry about it.
Great lake.
Gansevoort, are you going to Gansevoort by chance in Terex or no?
I'm going everywhere, wherever the elite party.
Yeah.
I don't know why he did.
I don't know about this.
Because he wanted to get everyone's attention.
Yeah, it's all like just.
All right. So, this Bruins team, how important is it for home ice against Toronto?
It is important. I mean, the Bruins are definitely better at home than they have been on the road. You can just look at their record if you go through the stats, too. I mean, there's a definite comfort, strength at home. It's not impossible on the road for them. Toronto is good at Toronto's good at home. They're pretty good on the road as well. But I just go back to this. If you think back to Game 7 last year against Toronto in the first round, which was this crazy, amazingly, I mean, I thought it was a phenomenal game because it had mistakes and it had ebbs and flows and ups and downs. Think about the energy that the Bruins got from their home crowd. TD Garden was rocking at home in Game 7. Was it the reason that they ended up winning? I can't tell you it's the one thing, but I definitely know it helped. It helped elevate their game, and at times it was a funky game up and down. But, yeah, being at home is a nice thing. There's pressure at home, but not like playing on the road when you're going against a crowd. You know, even though Toronto people argue sometimes the crowd isn't great, it's pretty good right now. They like their team. I just happen to think also matchup-wise, you get a better opportunity at home. Bruce Cassidy would have more of a chance getting Bergeron line in the matchup that he wants instead of vice versa with Mike Babcock having home ice.
All right, let's talk about the Bergeron line. We had Cassidy on, and to the way I interpreted it, and people have said they don't feel the same way, but I interpreted what he said as if Pasternak's healthy, like if he's close to 100%, he would put him on the second line.
Oh, yeah. But, we touched on it. Well, here's the thing. It depends on how much time Pasta comes back, how much time is left. English is easy. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be, if you can get Pasternak back next week, it also comes into Marcus Johansson's health, because Johansson, who had the lung, has the lung contusion. I have no update there either.
I thought he was supposed to be back soon.
Well, no, they said update in a week. So we're at that time right now.
Okay.
And I'd really like to hear about that, because I think he's an important piece to this, because he helps re-slot everybody else really well in the lineup.
They get so screwed at the trade deadline. I mean, they lose these guys
with
right
injury.
Away.
Yeah.
With injury. Johansson, it was buyer beware. He's got a history of injury problems, correct?
Yeah,
not
but
this specific
lung,
injury. I understand you can't factor that in. It's one of those,
well,
one
Nash,
of those things.
If, well, Nash thing, had a concussion
if
history.
Anything, Johansson had the history. He has concussion that Marchand was a part of last year. So that's... There's no buyer beware. That's just, the lung contusion is, that's just not a free, I mean, he got hit hard and his lung got rattled. I mean, it got bruised. But if he comes back, I liked him a lot with David Krejci. I could see then Pasternak going back with Marchand and Bergeron. Now, if Johansson's not ready to come back, I can see, assuming DeBrusque is ready, I could see DeBrusque, Krejci, Pasternak. I see Marchand, Bergeron, Heinen still. Because that's gone very well. Boy, Danton Heinen passing lately has been spectacular. Another beautiful one last night. And then your third line. See, Coyle, to me, for now, is best suited as a third line center.
Right. Well, that's what they need him to do. That.
Exactly. And, I think they would put him back there in that spot. But, again, we're waiting for the health of these guys to come back to re-energize the lineup.
So you said with DeBrusque, do you think they're being extra cautious?
I think they're being smartly cautious. Yes.
Okay, with everybody.
For Pasternak is a you knew it was going to be coming up to this weekend at the earliest type. And they said 2 weeks. And then it's going to be up to him once it's fully healed. how he can manage the stick and how he can handle the pain. If they're, you know, that, what kind of strength and pain is there to deal with? With regard to DeBrusque, yeah, from everything that I gathered, they're just being smartly cautious because they do not want that to turn into, I'd rather him see miss two or three more games than bring him back and then have it develop into something more.
Right.
And that's because there's obviously stress on that area.
Sure.
So
mm-hmm.
eliminate that stress as much as you can. Look, they come home, Winnipeg tomorrow, home Saturday back against Columbus. Then they're off until they go back on the road, but they go New York, Islanders, and Jersey. Take those few days, get the guys practicing with the team, and maybe I think they're, I don't know. I don't, nobody said anything to me again. They're on the road. I just feel like Tuesday is the most logical sense of return or point of return and, for some of those guys.
And there's no pressure to get people back. You're not concerned about the Maple Leafs.
I am, of course.
There's
I
a
am.
Little wiggle room, though. They're up four, and Toronto has a game in hand,
yes,
right? I mean,
yes.
But
Toronto,
still.
By the way, how about this? You got to love this, and you brought this up.
Toronto's lost two of their last three.
Right. They got their asses kicked by Tampa.
Tampa,
the other
right.
Night.
Yeah.
Not only did they get their butts kicked, but they rolled over. They were they played the role of that submissive dog. They even some of their guys admitted, said, yeah, third period, we kind of quit right there. You ever see the Boston Bruins do that?
No.
Yeah,
no.
That's why I like
even
this
when they
team.
Get down 5-1.
I watched that whole game against
Charlie
exactly.
McAvoy still fighting, you know, down three
that?
Goals.
Yeah.
You know?
And if that doesn't show you that he feels great right now, he you know, he's just getting after it. And I give Panarin credit to two guys that you say, okay. That's taking care of your own business right there. I like that right there. The little hack and whack, little slash back, game on, get it over with. Love that kind of hockey.
The old hack and whack.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Loved it. But the bees, like, of course I have concern. You know, I want them to do well, Freddie. I know you do too.
Yeah.
But is there major concern? No. Do I want them to clean up the turnovers and have better first periods? Yes. I can stomach the Pittsburgh game. I get it. I understand it. Pitt was a desperate team. Bruins a bit tired. That's where I thought the injuries really were very noticeable. I had a harder time with last night's early performance than I did that Pittsburgh game. And therefore, now you say, all right, you go
no
into
excuse
Winnipeg.
For a slow start, right? I mean,
yeah. I mean, get out.
Yeah.
Be ready. You know, don't come on and stop trying to do too much. They're turning the puck over an awful lot right now. And because they do not have the overall depth skill or skill depth in the lineup, simplify the game. Simplify.
But you just mentioned, like, losing the puck in their own zone. Like, you see too many men on the ice recently. Like, some sloppy
mental stuff. That's a tired sign.
Transitioning lines. They're getting out of position
that's
and giving
tiredness.
Up goals.
Okay. That's right there. That becomes a tired. Once in a while, too many men on the ice may happen if there's miscommunication. But if it happens repeatedly, it means that the synapses are just off that millisecond. And it's just not communicating as well. And those kind of mistakes happen. Their defense last night, team defense, when they were trying to handle the pressure of Columbus from the forecheck, especially behind the net, behind their own net, they did not decipher that well at all. And they didn't look good. All right. So they know it. They don't need us to tell them. They know it. But they'll hear it from Bruce Cassidy. And he admitted last night post game. That's why everybody loves Butch. Too many passengers. We had certain guys that weren't willing to engage. You had a guy in Trent Frederick, who's called up, who didn't play 5 minutes. Nordstrom didn't play over 8 minutes. There were some other guys. Krug had he still played 22 minutes. I think it was because the team was down, but he had a very difficult game. He was a minus five.
That's tough to do.
Billy,
that's really hard to do.
I'm a huge fan of Cassidy,
yeah.
And I just. He's got an old school quality about him. A lot of these new age coaches, I don't know if it's kind of spilled into the NHL, but these new age coaches are like, you know, relating with the players, and, you know, you millennials, they like go to classes on how to relate to the young athlete. Cassidy seems like, I don't care about that. I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be direct.
Well, but that's,
I'm going to hold him accountable publicly,
right,
and not worry about hurt feelings.
And he won't say anything publicly that he hasn't said or is going to say immediately privately.
Yeah.
And
he doesn't do it by name. He kind of says young players, and everybody kind of the defenseman.
You're right, but there were times that he called out a few veteran players. A couple of weeks ago, he talked about having to be, and he's talked about Tuca, and he's talked about Marchand before, and Pastrnak needs to do certain things, and he's done it with all of them. But he has what he learned from his first ride as a head coach many, many years ago in Washington, when he was a much younger first-time head coach, was that he needed to do certain things differently. You coach differently in the American League, and you relate differently to the players than you do in the NHL. He seems to have found that really good mix of NHL, AHL, and overall head coach communication now. He has that. And that's why he's a fantastic post-game interview. And when you get to talk to him, which I do regularly, he's just a fair, honest. You know, he always tells me if I'll ask him something, he might be like, look, I can't talk to you about that right now because I haven't talked to the player about it. Very fair. I have no problem with that whatsoever. Other times, you know what? He tells me certain things, or all of us, but in addition, when I talk to him, it's clear, it's concise, and he communicates it.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, you can watch him on NESN.
Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock is face-off, 7:30 pregame, an hour later because they're in Winnipeg.
All right. So it's a shame you don't get to travel with the team.
I like Winnipeg.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Was it that when Sagan's BlackBerry didn't turn over and he was late?
Yes.
That was Winnipeg?
Yes, years. Yeah. You're right. Good memory walk. Yeah.
He got caught on that crosswalk where you're not allowed legally to walk.
That's
across
right. For about 4 months.
Winnipeg can be tough right there, but I'll tell you what, it's a fun town.
Okay.
Have a good time
if you can ever go outside, which you can't.
During the winter, it's tougher. But
4 months indoors, Billy.
Yeah, I've been there a lot.
I know.
People have a good time.
And yet you still like it.
And you like drinking, Fred. You'd have a good time.
As opposed to other places where you can't.
That's right. There's no drinking anywhere else on the planet.
All right. Well, Billy Jaffe, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah. See you, Billy.
Here are the headlines.
Tutcher and Rich are back on TV.
I really didn't know that.
Twitch.tv. Follow the Sports Hub. Watch and react with 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the Stack.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. Billy Jaffe just leaving. He said he wasn't going to hug me hard, but then he slapped me. So he just has to get that shot in.
Just proving how strong he is.
Yep.
You know, what a some swell people, guy he is, man. You know, I enjoy talking to Billy. He's a nice guy. Really good guy.
Everyone's got Billy Jaffe fever.
Well, there's, you know, when I lived here, I used to run in some of the same circles, some of the NHL guys. And every, you know, Derek Sanderson, great guy.
But you got Sanderson after he was fun.
Yeah. Sanderson was at the end by then.
Yeah, well,
stories about him
fun.
Are legendary.
Oh, I know.
We've had him on the air.
I know. Yeah. Turk is, and nobody, I would put his storytelling talents up against anybody. But it led to me meeting Jeremy Roenick. It led to me meeting Keith Tkachuk. Bobby Orr, all good dudes. I mean, it's like if I grew up in this area, I think I would have been a hockey player. I love the guys. I like the culture, and so it's nice to talk to Billy. He's just most of the guys I meet that play hockey are just regular guys, man.
Yeah, Roenick's not afraid to throw down. I've thrown back a little bit.
Oh no, Jeremy can go now.
Yeah,
he's good dude, funny, talented. You know, he does a good job on it. Was he on NBC now? You know,
yeah, when he's not crying. You heard the audio of him crying.
No,
didn't?
No.
After the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, he started crying.
On the air, and Mike Milbury looked at him and said, what is your problem?
Yeah.
Mike Milbury, you're a grown man.
He showed no sympathy for him.
Oof. Well, time I won it, I kind of.
No, he didn't win it.
But
he lost it.
But
no,
did you, no,
he
no.
Was, he was doing the game.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
He was on the air for NBC Sports when the Chicago Blackhawks finally won the Stanley
crying.
Cup, and
he
cried.
If you win the championship, that gives you
kind of be like
cry.
You being on the air and then crying like 3 or 4 years ago.
Okay, yeah. Oh, that's okay, Jeremy. Yeah. All right. I got it now. I got it.
Even though I've never
first
cried
time
with
I
worked happiness. I've never cried with happiness. That has never happened to me. And I've taken...
I don't know, the birth of your kids.
Everyone says the birth of their kids, but the birth of your kid is stressful, and then it's like, what the hell's going on?
Yeah, okay, all right. What about when you watch your kids perform? Nothing can get me more. I don't know, and I hate to admit it, but I can watch my kids perform. I don't care if it's playing a violin, a soccer. They have a game where they score a nice block in basketball. Sometimes I get a little choked up. Like, there's my kid.
You get choked up?
You get a little like, is that weird? Maybe it's because I've been away for the last 8 years and haven't been living in my kids' daily lives like I wanted to.
I don't know.
All right, let's move on. Maybe, okay.
See, I take Paxil and the Motrigine.
It kind of dulls the senses a little.
Yeah. I'm constantly dulled. Not too high, not too low, baby.
This is just a by way of explanation. You know, why Fred does not choke up.
Yeah, not too high.
I love your candor, Fred. Thank you for, like, saying what maybe what the problem was with that. Or not the problem, but why you maybe aren't an emotional guy when you watch your kids you don't perform like I am.
When I'm off the meds, it's too much.
Right.
You know, and it only took about 20 years to find the right combination.
Hey.
All right, here's Ronan.
This is an emotional thing for me. For the kid that was there in 1992 who was crying when I came off the ice after we lost Game 4 in Chicago Stadium. You waited 18 years. I hope you have a big smile on your face.
I can tell.
Congratulations.
You're emotional.
Absolutely.
Why is it affecting you?
Chicago Blackhawks, man. I didn't get to do that. It's pretty unbelievable.
Well, I didn't get to do it either, and I'm not going to cry, but you better go, kid. You had a hell of a career anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't do it either, and I'm not going to cry.
You did okay for yourself, big guy. You know, don't worry about it.
He never, you know, but I could kind of see. He framed it in a way that I kind of get why he was emotional.
Mm-hmm. Like,
he
You got to keep it together.
All right, I'm sorry.
At that point.
Well, yeah, he's a pro. I get it.
I choked up once on the air. It was when I had to announce that Rich's wife had cancer,
which I will
stand by.
Well, why wouldn't you?
No, but I'll stand by.
No reason to explain that at all.
Right. That in the...
We got your back on that.
Absolutely. That day was bad day.
Understandable.
That in the day that I found Extreme broke up. All right.
Well, we all had problems with that. Well, you know, Betancourt has never been the same.
Well, at least, and then they got back together, and it was elation.
Yeah.
All right. So this house, the mansion where Phil Spector murdered some woman, is for sale. It's a big mansion. Now, would you live in a home that someone had been murdered in?
No.
No.
Nope. Never.
No.
I think it's law. I think if there's a murder in a place that's by law, you're supposed to tell the person.
Yeah.
Yes.
Buying the house.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not go.
It is. Right. Okay. Even if it was a great deal on a house that you really like.
There's a reason it's a great deal because everyone knows there was a murder there and doesn't want to live there.
What is the murder going to, how is it going to affect you?
It creeps me out.
It's the juju in it.
There's no, like, what do you think? The ghost?
No,
just the aura, just this.
Think about what happened in this living room.
Bad energy.
Here's where the blood was.
Bad energy.
No, even though it's a different rug and a different, no.
Oh, the only thing I would do is I would knock the house completely down. Start from the very beginning. A new house, new foundation, new footprint, everything.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you could gut it completely.
If you have the money to do that, then great.
That's what I would do.
What if you found out that the house that you were buying was used in a very bizarre
porn
adult films? Like that very bizarre, I won't go into any detail, but very bizarre non-traditional porn films were being filmed in. Would you be more likely to buy that house or a house where someone was killed?
I'll go with the murder home.
I'm going with the murder home too.
I mean, if Brazzers was there filming, you know, high HD quality kind of movies.
It's not that at all. It's something else. I know where Fred is going with this. There's a story that ties in with this.
Fred, the answer is no. I would not buy the house with what you're suggesting.
By the way, there's a guy from Brazzers that I saw on YouTube claiming that he made money. And I'm like, you're making a lot of money.
That subscription netted you millions of dollars.
Yeah, right. Considering all the content is free, that your company can't make any money.
Right.
Yeah, I'm sure they're just hand over fist paying their male porn stars. See, I would buy the house. I would have no problem with it.
So I have a friend who bought a house, and the man that she got it from was a hoarder, and he was an old man, and nobody knew.
See, I wouldn't like that. Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
He melted through the floor. He literally, like, melted through the floor.
Ooh. Wait, so for his dead body?
Yeah, it was so... Ah. It was there for so long, it melted
decomposed.
The floor. And they had to, like, get the new, you know, put the floor in and kind of got the house, and then they bought it.
So the floor, like a rug?
Yeah. And then it went right through to the basement.
Ah, how does that happen?
I have no idea. Mm.
Because I know that, like, very obese people that are on the couch can get woven into their skin.
Yeah.
And then they can't, like, remove it.
But he was there for a long time. Before anybody found him.
Well, you know what, buddy? Get a friend.
Yeah.
I mean, please.
So you'd buy the house. You'd just, put a new coat of paint on it? Maybe new flooring or something?
The floor.
Well first of all, what am I going to have a carpet in my house? I'm not having a carpet anyway.
Just paint over the blood.
Well, I would take it. They've cleaned the blood up. No, I would, of course, buy the house. And then I would give spooky tours. Herein lies the body of Phil Spector, and here's his hair products.
They're even more scary. No one knows what his hair looks like. I'm sorry. But, yes, I would buy the house. I would have no problem with it at all. Because I don't understand what would happen. I mean, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you figure the odds of two people being murdered in a house on separate occasions.
That's true. It's kind of like people. A lightning strike. You go stand right where the lightning hit because you know it's not coming back down the same place.
That's right.
Sure. I understand.
I mean, if you looked at the odds of someone else getting murdered by another party, that would be very difficult. The only thing that would be bad is if it was the house of someone that was murdered that was famous that became a tourist attraction.
Then you got a pain in the ass. You got cars slowing down and people standing on your front lawn.
Yeah, and like weirdos that want to look at the outside of the house where someone was murdered.
That's not, you don't need that.
No. That's I don't need. I need the privacy. Yeah. I mean, it's hard enough being a big-time radio celebrity around here. I mean, mm-hmm.
It's got to be.
You got people parked outside your house.
Nah, not so much as that, but I got autographs at Subway.
Right.
You know, when I'm pumping gas, people want to take selfies. Uh-huh. It's a whole issue. Well, Scott Zolak has been in the studio.
In and out 10 times in the last 30
trying
minutes.
Trying to impress Ted Johnson. And then to further impress him, I assure you he will not be here when the break starts.
That's true.
But we will talk to him and Bertrand and find out what's on the way.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Tucker and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Tucker and Rich, and just as I predicted.
Yeah.
Where's he at? Where's my boy at?
This is what he does. He comes in, grabs as much attention as he can by annoying people. Like he picked up Fred's water bottle and threw it out just to make sure everyone understood he was in the room.
Yeah.
And here we are, the time he needs to be here. Mm-hmm. He's not.
I just find it so funny.
It's 9 years now.
He brings in a head of iceberg lettuce. in a, but he brings it in with such great pride. And he puts it in the refrigerator. Like, what's going to happen to the head of lettuce?
Yeah,
in the 10 minutes that it's outside the refrigerator,
someone's going to steal that head of lettuce too. You know, it's a leave it in the refrigerator.
You know what I want is a
somebody
nice...
should. What a great prank! He needs to be more pranks on him, man.
Yeah. Well,
the king of pranks.
Yeah, there was a time where he put there was a snowstorm and he packed my car in the snow, and it was really funny.
I bet just, you were just dying laughing about
it was,
that.
I just, there's egg on my face.
That's an oldie but goodie for Zelf, burying the car in the snow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I'd rather him kick me in the nuts than bury my car in the snow. I was like, it's funny, one of the interns felt so bad for me. I'm like, dude, you don't have to help me. And they're like, I'll help. And one of Zolak's interns came out and helped me. Yeah. So that is his thing.
Took a picture. I remember they posted it. That he and Andy said, hey, look.
It was really funny.
Fred, there's your car.
Yeah, it was great. I liked. You know what I really wanted to do that day is spend a half an hour
outside
fun. The radio station.
Yeah.
It was a good old prank. I'd rather have him do the old box trick where he put himself in the donut box.
Which was more annoying? Was it that or when Steven Tyler's limo blocked us both in?
Oh, well, Steven Tyler.
That would be annoying.
Okay, so Steven Tyler came and didn't do anything on our station.
It was an American Idol thing, right?
I don't, or his country album, whatever crap he was doing. So, and I think Aerosmiths are fine, but the limo driver, he's in the building. So Steven Tyler's not around. I say to his limo driver, I'm like, move your limo, like you're blocking me in, and he acts like he's Steven Tyler, like he's not going
to
move.
Who are
the limo.
You to tell me? Like, to move my car.
You're a limo driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Move your car.
Back the park, buddy.
But you know what? He's standing right there. Yeah. Move your car back. Let me out. Mm-hmm. Then you can move the 10 inches that mean so much to you. I cannot stand that. Oh, are you the guy who picked him up from the airport? I'm not looking down on the guy at all. I'm just saying, don't act like you're Steven Tyler. I'd move my car. If someone said, if I'm standing there, they go, if they came in the station, they said, would you mind moving your car?
It's common courtesy.
Common courtesy.
It's just, why wouldn't you do it?
I don't know.
Like if someone came in here and said, hey, you're blocking me, what am I going to, no. Of course I'm going to go out and move my car. Oh, did that piss me off.
So the answer to your question was the limo thing was much more upsetting than the snow.
No,
it's still, I can see it.
The limo thing was undeserved arrogance.
Yes.
The snow thing was an attempted humor that just bothered me. And I don't know if anyone got a laugh out of it. It wasn't like people weren't coming out and like dying laughing. So, but I can take the joke.
One guy was laughing. Scott Zolak, that was about it.
Like, I like at least that was an attempt at humor.
I guess there's no crossover then.
Zo, where you at?
I don't know. He had to come in here like five
times. It's amazing.
Times
and we know he's here. He's been here more than once.
What do you got coming up on this show, Zo?
You know, he crapped himself the other day on his show.
I heard about
and
that.
And it made a stain on the chair.
Oh, oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, Hardy sent me.
Really?
Whoa. Yeah, Hardy sent it to me. He sent me
hey,
a picture.
Hey, what's up, brother? What's
all
up,
right,
buddy?
Ted Johnson, thank you so much.
Enjoy it, buddy.
You were great the last 3 days.
Thank you for having me.
You can hear Ted Johnson again starting Tuesday.
Let your kids
week.
Play football.
Oh, there we go.
Here we go.
I knew Zolak would not like that. Yeah. All right. Thanks again, Ted. That'll do it for us, everyone. Rich is back tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.